WCQ, CQ, CQ, the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, All Things Sierra Net. Calling the All Things Sierra Net. This is N9DEK, November 9, Delta Echo Kilo. My name's Dwight, and I'm located in Noblesville. We'll have a couple of discussion topics this evening. It's Elmer night, so any technical questions anybody has that like to put out to the group, we'll take those, and also we're going to discuss the differences between the Indiana QSO party and AR Field Day. We've had discussions on those topics, and now we're going to contrast the two, maybe for a little more education. This is a directed net, and all communications should be routed through net control or a topic moderator if there is one. This net meets every Thursday at 8 p.m. through the Hortonville Wires X Fusion Repeater 43.95 megahertz analog with a 77 hertz PL tone. We thank Hamilton County EMA for the use of this repeater. Please note, if you're using a Fusion radio, please make sure you're operating in FM only and not auto or digital modes. If you're operating in an auto or digital mode, this will flip the repeater into digital mode and you will not be heard in FM. You also lock out any FM traffic while you're transmitting. The net's purpose is to promote discussion on various topics in amateur radio, spread awareness of events in the amateur radio community, and to provide a line of communication for all buy-sell trade deals. As I said, tonight's discussion will be on any technical questions anyone has, and then contrasting Indiana QSO Party and ARRL Field Day. QSO Party is in May, and Field Day is at the end of June. We will start with check-ins, followed by announcements, then the discussion topic, and end with cell swap one. Any questions unrelated to tonight's topic should wait until the end of the net when we open it up to all other questions. Before we begin, does anybody have any emergency traffic? Do we have any short time stations?
9JBM, Joe in Noblesville on Purple, no traffic.
Okay, I've got Joe, Kilo 9, Juliet, Bravo, Mike, any other short time stations, please call now. Okay, do we have any guest stations? Do we have any Sierra guest stations with announcements for the net? Please call now. Okay, does anyone have any Sierra Club announcements? Okay, then we'll go ahead with check-ins. Check-ins will be handled in groups, starting with suffixes. The suffix of your call sign is the first letter after the number in your call sign. And we'll go Alpha through Lima, Mike through Romeo, and then Sierra through Zulu. This is N9DEK, Net Control for the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, All Things Sierra Net. And we're going to begin check-ins. Please begin, respond with your call sign phonetically, your name and location, and whether you have a question on tonight's net topics. If you have questions on tonight's topic, please simply state topic questions so I can mark you down. I will now begin taking check-ins from stations with suffixes Alpha through Lima. Please call now.
Larry, Northwest Noblesville on handheld, and no questions.
This is Alpha Delta 9 Kilo Tango and Kilo Delta 9 Zero Zulu Foxtrot. Westville, handheld, no questions.
Kilo Delta 9 Bravo Kilo Uniform, Mike, Noblesville, no questions. W9KD, base Noblesville, with an announcement.
No traffic.
Okay, let's hold up there. Larry, I should have your call sign memorized by now. Can you give me your call again? I got just, you were doubled on there on the end with Dallas.
This is Whiskey 9, Lima Mike Romeo, at control. And I'm sitting up here in Northwest Noblesville on an HT.
Okay, thank you. So far I've got November 9, Delta Alpha Mike, Whiskey 9, Lima Mike Romeo, Alpha Delta 9, Kilo Tango, Kilo Delta 9, Sierra Zulu Foxtrot, Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Uniform, and Whiskey 9, Kilo Delta. Is that right? Doesn't sound right. That's surely John's call. I haven't forgotten his, I hope. Okay, any more check-ins, Alpha through Lima, call now.
Whiskey 9, Lima Bravo X-Ray, Brandon in Indianapolis at the moment on a base, no questions.
Kilo Delta 9, Kilo Uniform Papa, Joe, no questions.
Lima Bravo X-Ray, Brandon, and Kilo Delta 9, Kilo Uniform Papa Joe. Any other Alpha through Lima? Final call for that. Okay, I'll now take check-ins from stations with suffix Mike through Romeo. Please call now.
November 9, Quebec Mike Lima, Andrew, Noblesville area, no traffic.
Okay, I got November 9, Quebec, Mike Lima, Andrew, and then I had another station trying to make the repeater. You were all down in the noise. You want to try again?
November 9, Mike, Romeo, Papa, Monica, Fisher, and traffic.
Okay, I got November 9, Mike, Romeo, Papa. Any other Romeo, Mike through Romeo stations? Call now. Okay, I'll now take check-ins from stations with suffixes Sierra through Zulu. Call now, please.
Kilo Delta 9 Uniform Golf Bravo.
Kilo Alpha Niner, Sierra Delta Quebec. Paul and Carmel, no questions.
Delta 9, Uniform, Yankee Charlie, Mark and Fishers, no questions, no traffic.
Okay, I've got Kilo Delta 9, Uniform, Golf Bravo, Kilo Delta 9, Sierra Delta Quebec, and Kilo Delta 9, Uniform, Yankee Charlie. Any other Sierra through Zulu, call now.
Whiskey 9, Sierra Tango, W9ST.
Okay, I got Whiskey 9, Sierra Tango, final call for Sierra through Zulu. Okay, any stations, Alpha through Zulu, call now. Okay, W9KD, go ahead with your announcement.
Okay, it's W9KD. With the current version of firmware on the controller, it's got an anomaly, I'm told, that sometimes if somebody's on the VHF machine and the UHF machine at the same time, it can create a buzz noise or something on the UHF machine. They've got a fix for that, a updated version that I'm going to be going to, but until then, I'm curious. I'd like to see if there's a couple of people that can hang around after the net. One person needs to have fusion capability, so we can do a quick test to see if it does it. But it's not consistent. I'm told it's just kind of random, so it may or may not do anything, but I'm just kind of curious as to exactly what it sounds like. So after the net, I'll be checking to see if there's a couple of people that can hang around. This is W9KD.
Okay, I can hang around and help you with that if you need, John.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, then we'll go, we'll just look here, take a look here at the website to see what announcements we have. You know, they're continuing to, for anybody that's not attending the CUSO party, they're continuing to ask for volunteers to support the 500 Festival Mini Marathon. I was on the Hancock net earlier in the week. I think they said they still need a few more volunteers, and that's from, that's on the website, so you can click on that for details. Let's see, we're going to have also the Racy Sierra CPR and AE training at 8 o'clock on May 6th, Saturday morning. Details are there. And we also have the Sierra Club Indiana CUSO party coming up May 6th. And the link to the Sign Up Genius for food and signing up to participate in the event is on the calendar. Let's see. Everybody knows about, hopefully, Dayton Hamvention coming up May 19th. Gosh, that's only a month away. And are there any other announcements that anyone needs to make that hasn't spoken up so far?
Net Control, this is KD9UGB.
I meant except for KD9UGB. No, go ahead.
Well, you may not be able to stop me. Actually, I wanted to just recognize W9KD, John, for all the work that he does on the repeaters and as our trustee to keep things running smoothly. John and I were speaking this afternoon, and he was talking about that buzz noise, and he was going through some just diagnostic dialogues, just trying to figure things out in his head, and needs help with us staying on the air to help him through this. So I'm hoping there's more than just Dwight that stays on to help John with this. And I just want to give him a really big thank you for everything that he does on the repeaters and what he does as a trustee for the Sierra Club. So, big thank you to John.
Pleasure, W9KD.
W9KD. Thank you, John. I'm sorry. Spoke out of turn there.
Did you want to say something, John?
Nope, I'll just listen here.
Thanks, Jean Marie. We do need to, we can't thank John enough. He does an awful lot for us. Are there any other announcements that need to be made before we move on? Okay, this is N9DEK, November 9, Delta Echo Kilo, net control for the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things SierraNet. So we'll go to the discussion topic. Does anybody have any questions in general that they would like to ask the group that they've tried to research or haven't had time to research or have researched and are still confused? Ask questions now. I had one that I was going to ask, but I actually called the manufacturer and talked to them today. I've had really good luck with talking to manufacturers here the last couple of weeks. They've been very helpful. So any questions, call now.
Net Control KD9 UGB, unless I'm not allowed to have questions.
You know I was kidding. Go ahead.
So this is a random question, but I do need an answer, and I think you're probably the right one to answer it for me. I was on the phone just before the net with the Coast Guard to just confirm that they're coming to our CUSO party to teach us how to tie knots. They are, and they have some really interesting knots, even for tower work and so forth, so we don't need to bring a thing. They're going to bring everything that we need to learn. We don't have to bring any supplies, but my question for you is this. They're probably going to come around 12 o'clock, and they're going to stay with us for a bit. They might even want to get on the radios with us. How long do they need to stay for us to earn the points for the CUSO party? Or maybe there's not a time limit. I'm not certain, so I wanted to be able to let them know.
Well, that's probably one of the differences between the CUSO party and the field day that we could discuss. Field day does have an educational event that does get credit officially in the points standings and the points calculation. There is no such requirement for the CUSO party, but believe it or not, knot tying is a topic of discussion on YouTube. I Googled that today and I found several videos where people just talked about the knots that they use for ham radio. Hadn't even thought about for towers, but this was all just for general ham radio stuff outside of tower work. So definitely a good topic to discuss.
Okay, so they will come to the CUSO party. I think if we want them to show up for field day, they'd be more than happy to do that as well. And we also have the possibility of doing some solder work. We're working with a club member on that. We'll see if Seth is on tonight. Maybe he wants to talk about that. But there's a possibility to do some solder work at the field day for points.
W9ST.
Go ahead, W9ST.
Thank you both for setting that up with a knot tying, since I believe that was my suggestion a while ago. Great idea to have it, especially at the CUSO party. Hopefully we'll get a big audience. I'm hoping I'll be there. I think I'll be there later in the afternoon, so hopefully I'll try and get there a little earlier so I don't miss the knot presentation.
Net Control KD9 UGB.
Go ahead, UGB.
That was Gary's suggestion, and I'm so glad he made it. He's made several others, too, that we're working on, so keep the suggestions coming. They're great. Sometimes it takes us a minute to get it all together. They should be showing up about 12 o'clock, and they will work, I think, as long as we want them to. And they didn't have an end time. I just needed to know from Dwight, because he's reviewed the rules, if we had a limit of time. So if you're not going to be there by 12 to 1, I certainly will ask them to stay a little bit later if you think you're going to make it just after that.
All right, well, I will try and be 9SD.
I think you got cut off there a little bit, Gary. Go ahead. Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah, thanks, Dwight. Sorry, I started talking without requesting permission to talk. I'll try and let you know what time I'm going to be there, but hopefully they'll have a PDF handout or something that we can share with the rest of the club for anybody who doesn't make it, so we can at least share the name of the knot. People can always go on YouTube and look them up, but you got to know what the name of it is to know what to look up, right? W9ST.
Net Control KD9 UGB.
Go ahead, UGB.
So that's a great question. They're planning on bringing a projector to see if they can set up a screen and project. If we have an electric outlet that's not being used by the operators, we'll certainly let them do that. also coming with a handout to give everyone, and I asked them if they would be willing to come back at another time, perhaps during a meeting in 2024, to do it indoors with their full presentation of the projector and several guys tying knots in the handouts as well, and they said yes. So we'll get it going as best we can outdoors, and then we'll probably repeat it indoors at another time, because they have so many knots they could teach us, we just can't learn them all in one day. So, but great question.
Okay, is everybody satisfied on that topic? I was just tying a ballon knot today in my throw kit, and for some reason the cord doesn't want to hold a ballon knot very well, so I was trying to add to that, and you know, knot tying is something we study in CERT. They actually had to do hand over hand with me, because I've had no training in knots, and conceptually that doesn't get to me, but after a year of practicing, I'm starting to get it down a little bit. But you have to practice with knots and review, because you'll forget them. And it's interesting comment on knowing the name of the knot. Dave Kassler has done hundreds of videos, and he was referencing a knot he saw in QST magazine and couldn't find the magazine article. And he said, "Well, please, somebody tell me the name of this knot that I'm tying." So good comment. Okay, this is N9DEK, net control for the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things Sierra Net. Any other general technical questions before we start the discussion on the QSO party versus ARRL field day? Okay, so start off this discussion with a couple of observations on differences. The ARRL Field Day has been around for a very long time, decades, and it's administered by the ARRL. The QSO party, on the other hand, has only been around, I think the original concept, I believe I read, was started in 2018 by the ARRL, and it was a short-term project, and like everything else in ham radio, has been revised and expanded by volunteers. So it's currently administered all by volunteers, and it's no longer governed by the ARRL. A couple more things. You know, the QSO party is going to be a club-only event. It's going to be one day. Whereas with Field Day, it's actually spans over 4 days and is in conjunction with Hamilton County Emergency Management Races and Hamilton County Emergency Management and all their equipment. So we start setting up on Friday and finish setting up on Saturday, transmit on Saturday and Sunday, and then take down on Monday. So it's quite a venture, quite a different animal than the QSO party, where we just bring out our clubs, our individual club members' equipment. And the ARRL Field Day is governed again by ARRL. That's a national organization. Field Days, the QSO parties, are governed by individual states, and the governing body for the organizing entity for Indiana is the HDCXX Club. You can visit their website at hdcxx.org, and they have monthly meetings in Westfield at the Union Jack Pizza. I think it's the first Wednesday of each month. So those are three items, I guess, to start off the discussion. I'm just now opening it up to questions or comments from other folks that have observations on differences between the two.
Control KD9UGB.
Go ahead, UGB.
I guess I'm a little noisy tonight, but it reminded me when you said that the differences between the two in talking to W9SD today. We were talking about the differences maybe between antennas that you use at QSO and the antennas you might use at Field Day, and I'm wondering if he would give us a little schooling on that, because there is a difference in what you want to do, and maybe John would want to talk about that a little bit if he's willing.
What would you like to know?
The antennas that we're going to use on QSO party, or that we could possibly use there, and the antennas for field day, there's going to be a difference, and if you would discuss what the differences are and why you think they happen that way.
Well, actually nobody's talked to me about what antennas you're going to use at QSO party, because they said all they need from me is just extension cords and the hot spot. So I don't know, Dwight, what do you know what antennas you're planning on using at field or at QSO party?
Well, I can give a couple examples. I'm going to be using the antennas. We're probably going to be using the biggest difference is there's a difference between portable that's set up by an individual and portable that's set up by an organization. I mean, we're going to have the Blue Sky mast, military style mast. We're going to have R7s as opposed to a Wolf River tactical that's totally portable. We're going to be using antennas that are extensively staked down and guide at the field day versus more temporary, hanging in trees and hanging in just set up very, very temporarily. Not necessarily that could withstand, if we have any wind at all, we'll probably be taking the antennas down where we would have a lot more robust capability at field day. Any other folks want to chime in there?
W9ST.
Go ahead, Gary.
Well, since it's a state QSO party, having contacts within a few hundred miles is a good idea for your antenna. And there is a special type of antenna, or a class of antennas, that does that, NVIS antennas. NVIS stands for Near Vertical Incident Skywave. And it basically, usually, if you're trying to DX, you want your signal shooting off low, at a low angle to the ground. But in this case, you want it shooting up, so it goes up to the ionosphere and bounces back down close to you instead of far away from you. And one of the ways you can do that with a simple dipole is just to get it lower than you would normally want it. So if you take a 40 or 80 meter dipole, and put it only 15 feet above the ground or so, most of the signal is going up, but that means it's going to bounce back down pretty close to you, which in our case would hopefully be another county within Indiana.
That's a real good observation, Gary. What Gary's talking about, contacting having QSOs within the state of Indiana, that's getting Indiana County is actually a multiplier. Whereas if you make, we get multipliers for the 50 states, but you only get that one time. So if you talk to Illinois, you only get one multiplier for the state, whereas there's 92, you can't contact your, I guess you could contact your own county. You wouldn't think of it if there was a station participating, which so far there isn't on the map, but there may be a county, Allen County station. So there's 92 multipliers available for NVIS applications. I'm actually, I just tested my 60-foot Chameleon Incom 2 today in an NVIS consideration, and I talked very clearly with a couple of guys. I had to take it down because of the wind, and looked like it was going to rain, but I talked to a couple of guys in Cincinnati, just clear as a bell on that thing, whereas with my vertical, I really didn't think I would be able to talk on the state race or in the Aries state net on Sunday nights with my HF vertical, but so far I've been hearing all the stations and been able to talk to net control, but I wanted to test that antenna for that application as well. So very good point, Gary. Any other questions or observations?
W9LBX.
Go ahead, LBX.
Yeah, what, I think I read at field day, they do digital modes as well, like FT8 perhaps. And I think I asked somebody the other day, and I don't remember if they answered me, if I just forgot. I know we can only work, like at winter field day, we only worked one band, one person per band. But I thought I read somewhere that you could actually have one person on voice on a band and another person on digital mode on the same band. And also, are digital modes a thing during the QSO party?
Good question. The current rules for Indiana are voice and CW only. Historically, digital has not been an option for any of the QSO parties, but that seems to be changing, I think, starting this year. I mean, I've only started looking at that this year, but some of the states that have digital are indicating that it's a first-time thing. So I think digital is starting to become a thing on QSO parties, but for Indiana for this year, there will be no digital, just voice and CW. For ARL Field Day, there is digital. So if, I guess as an example, if you wanted to operate a FT8 on 5 watts and do voice or CW, maybe do CW on 20, you know, using 20 watts and voice on 100 watts, theoretically on one band, if you had the transmitter spaced far enough apart, which I don't think we're practically going to be able to do for field day, but theoretically you could operate on 3 modes on one band if you had the antennas configured correctly and the spacing correctly. Does that answer your question?
Mostly, just to clarify, and I'm not even sure I remember on winter field day, but we couldn't have 2 people on voice on like 20 meter, for example, at the same time, correct?
I don't remember. I think that's correct. I'd have to look it up to make sure, but that sounds right. There seems to be I think field day is the only one that doesn't have that restriction, if I remember correctly.
And you're saying for summer field day here, we could have potentially 3 stations on 20 meter at the same time, as long as one of them was digital, one was CW, and one was voice.
Yeah, in theory, yes. I think that's correct.
Awesome. Yeah, that definitely answers my question. I appreciate it. W9LBX.
Go ahead, DAM. Now, that's interesting. I always wondered why CW counted double for most contests. I don't think that's universal, but for the vast majority of contests that I've looked at, CW counts as 2 points and digital and voice count as 1. But then I saw a comment that it takes a lot longer to do a CW contact than it does voice or digital. So double-edged sword there. You get double for the bang for the buck for each contact, but maybe it might take a lot longer. I'm going to ID the net now. This is N9DEK, net control for the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things Sierra Net. I'm going to throw out another major difference for the QSO, for winter and summer QSO parties. There are only 6 bands available. For field day, they list those 6 bands, but then they say just throw in 50 megahertz and above. So that's a lot of bands that get added. This year, because of some, we've got some technicians and youth, we are going to do a VHF, UHF station with both FM and single sideband, both applications. So that'll be new for us this year to get some points in that category. Go ahead with the other thing we have on, another one I'll throw out is there's no overnight for the QSO party, at least for the summer one. There are some QSO parties that have longer duration than ours, but ours is 12 hours. Some go 24 hours, some go 18 hours. I don't know if I saw any that were less than us, but there might be. So we have no overnight, which for field day we do have overnight and for ARL field day. Any other questions or observations? Go ahead, Dallas. I'll answer that, and then you can correct me if I have any inaccuracy, but that follows the general rule of licensing in that as long as you have a licensed person as the control operator for your station, anyone can talk whether they're licensed or not on the bands that the control operator is licensed for. Would you agree with that? That is correct, although I'd have to watch you very closely. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, as long as we follow rules and we have a net control operator present, that's correct. We could go to the highest band, we could go out, use all the frequencies of each band that are including the extra license. And I'm sure we'll have other extras there as well. Next question or observation. Okay, I'll throw another one out. I'm surprised UGV didn't bring this one up. The Indiana QSO party is going to be more informal than the ARL field day. I mean, we're doing communications only at field day, and for the QSO party, we're planning on having food all day, at least that's what I've been told, and or throughout the day. We're going to have games, we're going to have things for kids to do if they show up and they need to have something to do while parents get on the air, and we hope to be, we're also going to have a buy-sell swap table, and is there anything I've left out?
Net control, KD9UGB.
Go ahead, UGB. I was afraid maybe you'd gotten a phone call and had to get away.
No, not this time. But anyway, yes, there is one more thing we'll be doing at the QSO party. Aside from the fun with families and friends who are more than welcome to come, we will have plenty of food, by the way. We also are going to do our trivia questions like we do at our meetings. So there's going to be a couple of trivia questions throughout the day, and we'll explain how that's going to work on that day, but we'll have some prizes for that trivia game.
Okay, any other questions or observations for the net? I better go ahead and ID again. I've lost track of time. This is Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things Sierra Net. This is N9DEK Net Control. Any more questions or observations?
Control KD9UGB, there is one more difference I should highlight.
Go ahead.
At the QSO party, Forest Park, Shelter 5, we will be there at 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. or until everybody decides that they're ready to stop. And for the field day, we'll be at Coxhole Gardens, and you'll be able to bring your tent and stay overnight. So if your family wants to come out with you, if you want to take a break from operating and sleep for a little bit, get up at night, work the bands at night, you'll be able to do that, and we will have food that's available overnight as well. It's not going to be full-blown seven-course meals, but there'll be things there to eat. Back to Net Control.
Okay, I'm trying to think if there's any other major differences we want to highlight. I made a list. I pretty much covered all the major ones that I had on my list. Any more questions, observations? I know I've been looking forward to the QSO party. I'm still not quite ready, but I'm almost went into a panic. Somebody said there was only a week away today, and I said, no, it's 2 weeks, I think. any other questions, observations while I glance over my notes?
Net Control, KD9UGB.
Go ahead.
We had some great information from Gary on the QSO party antennas. Can we get John to talk a little bit about the equipment coming from HCEM and the antennas that will be there and the differences between the QSO party and the HCEM setup for field day?
W9KD, well, again, nobody's requested any antennas from RACES, so I don't know what you plan for antennas, but the recommendation would be horizontal antennas for what Gary was talking about for the NVIS type propagation. So verticals wouldn't work as well as the horizontals, but we've got NFED wire antenna and a G5RV dipole, multi-band dipole, if that's desired. So I'll refer to Dwight on what antennas people already plan to bring, and then whether or not you need anything from the RACES trailer. Go ahead, Dwight, W9KD.
Well, I'm bringing, I am going to bring a vertical for, to try to get, some DX for the states. Other states, and that's, Gary made a good observation about getting counties for multipliers, but when I was at the HDXCC meeting, I was asking questions, and one of the guys brought out the fact that, there's another side to that coin, and that is, being a destination station and DX for people wanting to get county credits, and a lot of people do the counties contest, so he said, don't forget to call DX and seek out states and get those multipliers as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I've never done the QSO party, so I didn't know. So yeah, that would be good then. Do you need any antennas from the trailer?
As far as everybody that's signed up so far, the answer would be no. But if there's anybody out there that's thinking about coming that doesn't think their antenna is adequate, email me and I'll get with John and we'll try to set you up. I know there's if I remember correctly, there's a 60-foot NFED and a 100-foot NFED available, like you said, in the GR5, which I've never used the GR5, but those NFEDs are multi-bands. I don't know, do those come with a counterpoise? Or would your coax be your counterpoise for those two NFEDs, John? And also, they would probably both require a broadband tuner. An internal tuner wouldn't be adequate, correct?
Well, to answer the first question, the G5RV is a dipole. It's actually a Wyndham-type dipole, so it's multi-band, which dipoles normally aren't, but we could go into, that's a whole other explanation there on why that one is. The other one is just an infed, and I think it has, what, a 4-to-1 Balun or something on it. But it depends on the band. Like the G5RV, potentially, for whatever bands it's designed to be able to do, the internal antenna tuner would probably be sufficient. On the NFED, we used that one when we were at the field day at the Masonic Lodge. We had the NFED hooked up to the Kenwood TS-440S, and it loaded up just fine. So you just kind of have to play it by ear. It depends on the radio and depends on the configuration of the antenna. But yes, the NFED had a thin counterpoise that just, they strung it along the ground, and the G5RV, being an actual dipole, doesn't require a counterpoise. So that's about it for those two antennas. W9KD.
I know the Chameleon NFED I was using today, it looked like the SWR was low enough I was going to be able to use my internal tuner on everything, but and I was just using the coax. I've got wire ordered, but it won't be here all early next week, so I didn't really have a 50-foot counterpoise to put under it, but I didn't even have the ideal length of coax under it, and it worked pretty well, at least according to the analyzer. I only talked on one band before the weather got bad. But sounds like an internal little tuner might be good enough. So, any other questions or observations? I was trying to look up who was coming and what, who was bringing antennas. I think I know we've got my vertical, my Wolf River, and I'm either going to bring a 130-foot or a 60-foot NFED. I know Dallas has got a 47-foot NFED, and I know Andrew's got antennas that he's bringing that are self-sufficient.
W9KD.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I will be bringing that vertical. What is that? I can't remember. An R5, R7, whatever it is that we suspected something was funny with the 20-meter trap. I'll be bringing it out to see if the issue is really just adjusting the length on the antenna itself to get it to work better on 20 meters. But anyway, I'll be experimenting around with that. So that one would be available for at least some of the bands, maybe all the bands that it's designed for. W9KD.
KD90GB.
Okay, let me ID the net again. This is the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things Sierra Net. This is N9DEK net control. Go ahead, UGB.
I'll bring my Wolf River coil as well, because whoever wants to play with that and try it out can do that as well, so there'll be an extra one there.
Thank you for that. I've had a couple inquiries about mine. I have mine marked now for the 204-inch vertical using the antenna by itself and with the coil, and then I have the standard 102-inch antenna marked to be able to use with the coil. So for folks looking for guidance on that, and I've got some charts that I've printed out for some YouTube videos that the Wolf River is, you know, you can, if you miss it just a little bit, it's pretty tedious to get it tuned up. So, but once you do, man, it's flat across the band. So I'm only using three counterpoises wire or three radials right now, and I've got more wire on the way. So I'm looking forward to using that. Any other questions or comments for the net? Go ahead, DAM. Yeah, I'll echo that offer as well. In addition, if you just want to come out and learn how to, what's the word I'm searching for, if you learn how to record QSOs, you know, usually we have at field day, we usually have two folks on a radio, one person handling the mic and one person handling the computer. So if you want to log, there's the word I'm looking for, if you want to log learn how to log QSOs, and otherwise it's just a good idea to come out and learn, you know, see the exchanges that take place, just listen, get a little bit of practice listening for, if you're not calling CQ, if you're trying to break through a pileup, listening for the station that you need to be calling, and also, you know, the methods for trying to break into a pileup, and just that kind of learning, just observing that kind of exchange and getting a feel for it. You can get a little bit of that from watching YouTube videos, but it's better to be there and experience it. You know, try to listen, get a little practice listening through the static if conditions aren't ideal, and just either observe or log if you don't want to, if you're still mic shy. Okay, any other questions before we wrap up the topic?
W9LBX.
Go ahead, LBX.
I wanted to touch a little bit on what Jean Marie was saying a little bit ago about the class that we're going to have at the winter or summer field day in June. I don't think we have all the details completely ironed out yet, but I just wanted to drop some hints so people could start thinking about it. The going plan is that we're going to have an antenna tuner, a common tuner that you see on Amazon and eBay. The ATU-100, anybody that was at Winter Field Day saw me and Andy had one, and Andy had one that was the ATU-1000 for a kilowatt. But we're thinking about getting some of those kits and having a class where we walk through learning how to solder as we assemble those. Jean Marie, I don't know if you can touch on if the group buy thing is happening or if you've got any more information on that. Of course, we're like 9 weeks out, so I think we've got plenty of time to discuss it, but I just wanted to start dropping hints and see what other information we've got nailed down.
Yeah, this is KD9UGB. So we could do a group buy, and I would organize that for you, no problem. If we get a sign-up going on how many people want to be involved with that, we'll just go ahead and order those and get them in. Then Brandon is very graciously offering to teach that during field day, which is wonderful. As we get closer to the event, we'll give you more details on time and exactly how that will run. But yes, we can do a group buy. All we need to know is how many people are interested in doing that. And the intent was to learn to solder, but this is even better because we can learn to solder and actually build something while we learn. Back to net control.
Yeah, if you could get some information, get a link to Dallas to put on the website so people could access the kit that you're referring to and see how much it costs and see what the details are. And one question I would have is, I don't know how tricky soldering is. I've never had a knack for it, so I've shied away from it. But I guess the danger is either a cold solder or overheating. Is there parts, if you mess up part of the kit, if you overheat something, are parts you can order to replace those parts, or how does all that work? Or is it, if you have good instructor, maybe it's not an issue.
I was planning on bringing some boards, some scrap electronics that we can maybe practice on before we started working on the kits, and hopefully we mitigate any sort of permanent damage, but a lot of stuff, if you mess up, you can generally fix it, so I'm not terribly worried about that. But yeah, we'll definitely get some links up and get some more information. This was originally planned for November, and it got kind of bumped up to June now, so not a huge rush, but I just wanted to start dropping some hints so people could think about it. The kit that we're thinking about, I think, is around $30 or so, and then the case for it, if you wanted to buy the case, is One of them was cheaper than that because the total was about 50. Maybe one was 25 and one was 25, or the other was 25. I don't remember exactly, but I personally 3 fund for possibly buying that kit. If you don't buy the kit, you can definitely participate because I'll have some scrap boards that we can mess with too. Back to net control, W9LBX.
Experienced that noise that John was talking about. We lost about the last 30 of your transmission. If you can go over that again.
Yeah, I was rambling a little bit, so probably didn't miss a whole lot. Just wanted people to kind of know, save up about $30 to $50 if they want to get that tuner. If not, I'll still have some equipment that they can practice on. So you can participate even if you don't buy the tuner. So either way, just wanted to start dropping hints so people could start saving up their money and thinking about if they wanted to do that or not. Like Jean Marie said, we'll definitely have some more information going forward.
Go ahead.
That's definitely a good consideration, but no, I've got, between me and Andy, we've probably got 5 or 6, if not more, soldering irons, and I've got big spools of solder that I can just tear pieces off of for each person. Generally, to go through this whole kit, you'd probably go through maybe a foot worth of solder, so that's definitely not an issue. I was thinking about a 20 to 30 minute PowerPoint presentation followed by, this was going to be during the meeting in November, so I was hoping like an hour to an hour and a half to build the kit. I was a little bit worried about that because depending on people's proficiency with soldering, it might take a little bit longer, but that'll be an awesome thing that we're doing it during field day. We shouldn't be pressed for time. But overall, it's not a very complicated kit. There's a handful of relays to solder in, some toroids that you have to wind yourself and then solder to the board. I think I had it done in under an hour. Of course, I've been soldering for literally as long as I can remember, but even a novice, I can't imagine it'll take more than a couple hours.
Go ahead, Elmore.
I know the gentleman speaking is well aware of this, but I didn't hear him mention it. The solder must be rosin core, or you must have a little can of flux on the side, or it will not work. Over to net control.
Anybody need to respond to that? Okay, before we proceed, any other comments? N9DEK.
W9ST.
Go ahead, Yes, Pete?
Two comments. I'm just curious if anybody else has some interference, like random noise throughout the whole thing tonight, or if it's just my station and one of my neighbors has something new. I have somebody who moved in across the street. I'm hoping they're not splattering RF everywhere. But anyway, my other comment was, if you're looking for soldering practice, there's a lot of these little tiny QRP CW kits that you can buy. They don't perform very good, but if you're just buying, like I bought, one of them's called Pixie, and I bought the Pixie kit basically just to practice my soldering. And if it happens to transmit a little bit with the, that would be a bonus. One thing to watch though is a lot of them have a crystal, like the Pixie comes with a crystal by default that's 7023 kilohertz, which is in the extra band area. So you want to buy, some of the kits do come with a 7050 crystal, which generals can transmit on, and actually techs too, I believe. So if you are going to get one of those kits, make sure that you look at the frequency that it comes with, because it's basically a single frequency transmitter that you can bias one way or the other a couple kilohertz. W9ST.
Thanks for the comment, and yes, I'm definitely experienced, have experienced a couple of, two or three times this evening where we're getting a noise interference, so it's not just you, Gary. Okay, with that, we're going to end this evening's topic discussion. If anyone wants to hang around afterwards and talk more, feel free. For now, does anybody have a, this is N9DEK, Net Control for the Central Indiana Amateur Radio Association, all things here at NET. Does anybody have a cell swap want? Okay, do we have any late check-ins? Please call now, Alpha through Zulu.
Whiskey Alpha 4, Echo Zulu, Foxtrot.
Okay, I had Whiskey Alpha 4, Echo Zulu, Foxtrot. Any other late check-ins?
KD9WFK.
Okay, I heard Kilo Delta 9, Whiskey Foxtrot Kilo, and then I had a station that was totally down in the noise. You want to try again?
Oh, that sounds digital.
Okay, any other check-ins? Final call for check-ins. Okay, this is November 9, Delta Echo Kilo, thanking you for your participation in tonight's NET. The next NET is next Thursday, April 27th at 8 p.m. Next week's topic is tentatively scheduled to be a presentation by somebody from Hamilton County Emergency Management. We haven't, it doesn't appear that that's been updated to a specific presenter or topic yet. So if there's a topic you would like to discuss on future NETs, or if you want to give feedback on today's topic, or previous topics, don't call me. Call email kd9tgh@gmail.com. No, I was just kidding. Anybody on the board that you want to contact confidentially regarding anything related to Sierra, please do so.